الله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This evening, inshallah, brothers and sisters in Islam, I was requested by the administration of this masjid, Masjid al-Muslimin, here in 1928 Fulton Street in Brooklyn, to just give some khatira, a brief talk on any subject that I chose. And this is not for your entertainment, but it is for your entertainment, because this is something that is of illegal entertainment that we can do in the houses of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So when they asked me what did I want to do, I chose this particular surah, and I chose the Quran specifically because we all know what the Quran is to us. We know that this is the book where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Alif Lam Mim, and no one knows the meaning of that except Allah. This is the book, there is no doubt in it, as a guide for those who have at taqwa. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about his book, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَى عَبَدِهِ الْكِتَابَ وَلَمْ يَجْعِلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. Praise be to Allah, the one who sent down his book on his slave, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that book that he sent down on the heart of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, it has no crookedness in it whatsoever. Unfortunately, with this new surge of the da'wah to Quran and that sunnah on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors, we find some of the brothers in Islam who become gung-ho with this Quran and Sunnah and the da'wah. And they have focused a lot on a hadith. They focus a lot on a hadith, specifically on the sciences of hadith. And we know that the sciences of hadith are extremely important. To know if the hadith is mursal, to know if the hadith is mu'adal, to know if the hadith is munkar, or muttarib, or matruk, or maldu'. Or shaz, or batil, or la aslu lahu, or whatever. But unfortunately, in the brothers' zeal, to promote this da'wah on the understanding of our rightly guided predecessors, namely the Sahaba and those two succeeding generations that followed them in goodness, they have, in many ways, abandoned the Quran. They have abandoned the memorization of the Quran. They have abandoned the study of the Qur'an. They have abandoned the reflection on the Qur'an, at-tadabbur, at-tafakkur, etc. And this is the reason why we chose this evening. And insha'Allah, not that we're going to abandon the hadith, but insha'Allah, if we're requested again in the future to do any talks here in this masjid, we're going to try, insha'Allah, to focus on the Qur'an. To focus on that book of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there's no crookedness in it, and that he sent it on the heart of his messenger, and all those many other ayats of Quran where Allah mentions glorifying and praising his word, which is his word and no one else's word. We chose this surah that was revealed in Mecca, Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th chapter, because it is a surah like the other surahs that are revealed in Mecca, which calls our hearts to look and reflect and prods our souls to reflect on the next life and on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know, and if we don't know, that verses, according to the scholars of Al-Quran, verses are divided in terms of their places of revelation into two basic categories. And they have some, for lack of better words, subdivisions. And they are either A, Mekki, or B, Medani. In other words, either an ayah was revealed in Mecca, or a surah was revealed in Mecca, or the ayah was revealed in Al-Madinah, Al-Nabawiyyah, or the surah was revealed in Al-Madinah, which the scholars call Mekkiyah verses or surahs and Madaniyah verses or surahs. There are other places in which the Quran was revealed, sometimes in between the two cities, sometimes between Mecca and Al-Madinah, sometimes, at least one occasion that comes to my mind, at Ta'if, where a verse was revealed in at Ta'if, and in other cases where the Quran was revealed in Al-Habasha, which is Abyssinia or Ethiopia, commonly known today as Ethiopia. And this particular surah is a Meccan surah. And there's some characteristics that the scholars of Islam let us know, some clues on characteristics to let us know when an ayah or a surah was revealed in Mecca or Al-Madinah. And we don't have time to go into them, but to give you some examples, if you find a surah that talks about and emphasizes a lot of tawheed, then this surah or ayah is a Meccan surah or ayah. It is a Meccan chapter or verse, if it's primarily dealing with a tawheed. And most of the surahs that deal with resurrection, Al-Jannah, An-Nar, these are, for the most part, Meccan surahs. Also those surahs that begin, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O people, O human beings. In many cases, they will be Meccan surahs, but there's some exceptions. Also the smaller surahs. The smaller surahs like are found in the back of the Quran, like in the 28th, 29th, and 30th juz of the Quran, like Qad Sami'a Allah, juz Qad Sami'a Allah, and also juz Tabarak Alladhi Biyadihi Al-Mulk, and also juz Amma, you find these surahs that are revealed in Mecca. As opposed to surahs that are revealed in Al-Madinah, those surahs usually begin with, for instance, Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu, O you who believe. Or they're surahs that deal with laws, ahkam al-shari'iyya, verses or surahs that deal with inheritance, or deals with salah, or deals with al-zakah, or deals with al-siyam, or deals with al-hajj, or al-jihad, or al-hidana, child custody, or something like this. These are the surahs or verses that are al-madani, surahs or verses, madaniyya, verses or surahs. And this particular surah, as we mentioned, is a Meccan surah, and I don't remember if there are any verses in this surah that are Madani, meaning revealed in Medina. My mind, I can't remember, but I thought, and if someone later on can correct me or assist me, or maybe even now, I think that the verses that we're going to be dealing with were revealed in Medina, and Allah knows best. I don't know. But for a whole, this particular surah, on a whole, Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, was revealed in Mecca. And we do have some instances where a surah is a Madani surah with Meccan verses, or a Meccan surah with some Madani verses. The verses that we're going to deal with tonight, alhamdulillah, my brother in Islam, our brother in Islam, Safwan, Abdul Hadi, Ibn Sulaiman, Abdul Hadi, Rahimahullah, Brother Safwan is going to assist us, inshallah, and read the English. So we please be patient, because we're going to be passing this microphone back and forth, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I say, after saying, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and while we're on this point, I'd like to just advise and remind the speakers who speak in front of the people on a regular basis that when you are saying a verse from Quran, or when you're about to quote something from the Quran, You should not say, Allah says, then you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Because what you're saying is now that Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And Allah doesn't say that. What we should say is, Allah says, after I say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, because we shouldn't attribute to Allah anything that He does not attribute to Himself. So I say after al-isti'adha, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن حق عليه كلمة العذاب أفأنت تنقذ من في النار لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم غرف من فوقها غرف مبنية تجري من تحتها الأنهار وعد الله لا يخلف الله الميعاد ألم تر أن الله أنزل من السماء ماء فسكله ينابيع في الأرض ثم يخرج به زرعا مختلفا ألوانه ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يجعله حطاما إن في ذلك لذكرى لأولي الألباب. And this is verses 19, 20, and 21 of the 39th chapter of the Quran.
Is then the one against the word of punishment justified equal to the one who avoids evil? Will you, O Muhammad, rescue him who is in the fire? But those who fear Allah and keep their duty to their Lord, for them are built lofty rooms, one above another, under which rivers flow. This is the promise of Allah, and Allah does not fail in His promise. Can't you see that Allah sends down water, rain from the sky, and causes it to penetrate the earth, and then makes it spring up as water springs, and afterward thereby produces crops different in color, and afterward they wither, and you see them turn yellow. Then He makes them dry and crumble away. Verily, in this is a reminder for men of understanding.
The first verse of which was recited, أَفَمَنْ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ أَفَأَنْتَ تُنْقِذُ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ. Is then one against whom the word of punishment justified, will you rescue him who is in the fire? In this particular ayah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given something of which the scholars of Islam call tasliyah, at-tasliyah. He's given some solace. He's given some relaxation. He's given some tranquility. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more concerned for the safety and security of the human beings than they are for themselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one whom Allah sent who is more concerned with the believers than they are for themselves. And one narration, the Prophet alayhi wasallam said, the meaning of the hadith is that I to you am like a man who is standing at a bonfire trying to shooing the moths away from the fire so that they won't fall into the fire. This is the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to us. We are like those moths, and the Messenger of Allah is the one who's shooing us away to keep us from falling into that fire. He's more concerned with us than we are ourselves. And this is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent al-Mustafa, Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qurashi al-Hashimi alayhi salatu wassalam. In a few verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he demonstrates how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned with us. He's so concerned with us that Allah tabaraka ta'ala, he says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Perhaps, O you Muhammad, perhaps Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will kill yourself in grief over their not accepting the admonition or turning away from the Qur'an. O Muhammad, perhaps you're going to kill yourself in grief because they won't accept this narration of the Qur'an. Because the Prophet ﷺ didn't want to see anybody go to the hellfire. Because he's more concerned with the human being than the human being is concerned with himself. So Allah is giving the Prophet in this ayah, in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 6, some more comfort. It's a balm for his heart. It's a solace for his soul. To let him know, O Muhammad, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You won't be able to guide whom you love. You can try and you can try and you can try, but don't kill yourself, O Muhammad, because they won't listen to you. Why? As we return to Surah Al-Zumr, verse 19, some of the people whom the word of punishment is justified, it's already been decreed by Allah that they're going to go to hell. That's what this ayah is saying in Surah Az-Zumr, verse 19. It's already been determined that they're going to go to hell. So the Prophet ﷺ was extremely eager and extremely anxious for the people to become believers. But what was written on them, their misery, their wretchedness, the fact that they were going to go to the hellfire had already been ordained for them from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. أَفَمَنْ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ. Is then the one whom the word of punishment, meaning the decree that is written in Lawh al-Mahfuz, in the preserved tablet, that is already written, O Abu Lahab, it's already written, Walid ibn Mughira, it's already written, you enemies of Islam, you pagan Arabs, that you are going to go to hell. And this ayah, in the beautiful style of the Qur'an, in the uslub of the Qur'an, how Allah forms the verses, how He forms the ayat in the Qur'an, it's a style that can't be imitated. The scholars call it al-i'jaz, meaning the inimitability of the Qur'an. Allah even calls the people to a challenge. He makes a challenge to bring a surah like this. It's very easy to say, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, the beneficent, the most merciful, the master of the day of judgment. Chaucer or Shakespeare could do this very easily. Any of the great poets could have done something equal to this or better. But no one, even if they got all the jinn and all the angels and all the mankind together, could bring anything like Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmi Deen. No one could bring anything like this. In this ayah, أَفَمَنْ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ كَلِمَةُ الْعَذَابِ. Is then one against whom the word of punishment justified? أَفَأَنْتَ تُنْقِذُ مَنْ فِي النَّارِ. Will you be able to rescue him who is in the fire? You won't be able to appreciate, brothers and sisters, the style of this in the English language. There's something here called حَذْب. Al-حَذْب, which is an ellipsis. There's something that is deleted. And that thing that is deleted, in the rhetorical sense, it's a rhetorical question, is then the one who the miserable end has been determined by Allah, any salvation from you, O Muhammad? Are you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, able to save one who is in total error and destruction? The brothers and sisters who are in the Arabic class here in this masjid, or any other Arabic class in any other masjid or Islamic center, we have learned about Ismul Istifham, the interrogative particle. We've learned about those particles that ask questions, like Aina, where, and Kim, how much, or how many. and meta, when, and limada, why, or men, who, and what, ma, meaning what. We've also learned hell and the hamza on the aleph, or the fatha on the aleph, hell or a. In this particular ayah, Allah begins with the ism wal istifham. A. فَمَنْ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْكَلِمَةُ عَذَابٍ. Allah begins with the interrogative particle. But in reality, it's not asking a question, as we've learned in the Arabic class. It's not asking the question, are you able to bring protection to the one? In actuality, in this style of this ayah, it's actually a negation. It's a repudiation. It's a rebuke to the people who believe that they're going to be saved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it a disaffirmation or a denial. So in actuality, this tranquility that the Prophet is getting is not asking him a question. It's telling him, this is negated from them. Meaning, I repudiate the fact that they're going to have anything but the hellfire. And Allah does it in such a rhetorical form that can't be seen in English. The only way you can really see it is from the point of the Arabic language, from the aspect of this beautiful language that the Quran was revealed in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those individuals like Al-As ibn Wa'il and Abu Jahl and the like, take it easy, O Muhammad. Leave them, O Muhammad, because eventually those individuals, because their sins have surrounded them and because they have drowned in iniquity in their sins, that the judgment has been passed and that they are going to go to an-nar and they're going to be there khalidina fiha abadan. They're going to be there forever. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on. لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم غرف من فوقها غرف مبنية. But those who fear their Lord and keep their duty to their Lord, for them are built lofty rooms one above another. Now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the ashqiya, the people of shaqa, now after he's mentioned in verse 19, the people of misery and wretchedness, he now starts mentioning the people of sa'ad, the people of happiness, of whom we who hear my voice ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to be upon, to be among. O Allah, make us of the people in this verse, verse 20, and do not make us of the people in verse 19. Ameen. Both parties have been mentioned, and both parties have been given their designated spot. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, ثُمَّ يُرْسِلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعَ كَلِمَاتِ لِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَأَجْلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٍّ أَوْ سَعِيدٍ. Then the angel, after you're in your mother's womb for approximately 120 to 150 days, then the angel is sent to your mother's womb, and he, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, by the permission of Allah the Exalted, blows, as an occupation for this angel, blows the ruh into your mother's womb. And he is commanded to place in your mother's womb, and some scholars of Islam say it's on your forehead, and Allah knows best that it's written on your forehead, four things. That which is written is your livelihood, your span in this life, your occupation, and if you're going to be the people who are wretched or the people who are happy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already given those people, we, the Muslims and the kuffar, their designated spots. And those designated spots are only known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم, but those who fear their Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is a statement found in too many places in the Quran. And we already know the meaning of a taqwa, The literal meaning of at-taqwa is to protect oneself from being hurt or harmed. This is the literal meaning of at-taqwa. And I was very happy when our Imam, Imam Siraj Wahhaj, Hafizahullah, approximately 16 years ago, and I'm happy to say that I'm one of the founding fathers of Masjid al-Taqwa, when he chose that name, when he took a poll in the masjid, asking us, what should we name the masjid? And then he decided, after looking at what everyone said, looking at the verse of the Quran about the masjid that is built on taqwa, he named that masjid because we were trying to move towards the Quran and the Sunnah, trying to be people who fear Allah, Masjid al-Taqwa. And this word is a word that most of us probably don't know, including myself, probably firstly, the deep reality of the meaning of this word. To have the quality to want to keep things away from you from being harmed. To protect yourself as a boxer, bobs and weaves when a jab or uppercut or a hook is thrown at his head or his body. The way he weaves and moves out the way. This is the way a Muslim should be, a Muslima should be. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. This is the way we should be in this life. We should be trying to get away from those things. We should be bobbing and weaving away from those things, ducking and dodging those things in this temporal, mundane, very, very short lifespan called ad-dunya that displease and anger Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم, those who have taqwa with their Lord. Those who fear displeasing their Lord. Those who have the fear of the punishment and the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who fear Allah. And one of the great people of the past, one of our rightly guided predecessors of the second century, going closely to the third century, he said in his explanation, which is an explanation that I want all of us to reflect on, and his name was Fudayl ibn Iyad, radiallahu anhu. He said, من خاف الشيء هرب منه ومن خاف الله هرب إليه. Whoever fears a thing, they run away from it. But whoever fears Allah, they run to Him. Whoever fears a thing, they run away from it. When you see that guy with the 9mm, in most cases, unless you are a 10th degree black belt or something like that, in karate, you may try to take him on. But in most cases, when you see that guy with that 9mm, you'll run away from him. You fear this. Or when you see that pit bull coming towards you, foaming at the mouth, may Allah protect us from this. Ameen. You'll run away from it. You'll seek protection. You'll seek refuge. Those who fear Allah run towards Allah. And this is the true aspect of the person who is muttaqi or muttaqiya, the person who fears Allah both among the male and female Muslims. In other words, we should be guarding ourselves from doing those things that will cause or incur the wrath and punishment of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In this particular verse, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses one of His names, Rabb. And Rabb literally means Sayyid or Master. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is telling us, لَكِنِ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ. But those who fear their Rabb. What is the meaning of Rabb? The word Rabb, according to the scholars of Islam, has three aspects. Number one, that He is the creator by Himself. Number two, that He is the owner of everything by Himself. And number three, that He is the administrator of the affairs of all His creatures by Himself. So the one that we should fear is the one who created us, the one who owns us, the one who administrates the affairs of all of us. It is our Lord, Rabbul Alameen. So those who are obedient, those who are believing, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, holding fast to the Sharia and carrying out the obligatory acts, staying away from the prohibited acts, will have ghuraf. They will have ghuraf, which is translated as lofty rooms, which is translated as high rooms, like penthouses. The word ghuraf is the plural word for ghurfa. The word ghuraf in this ayah is the plural word for ghurfa. Right now, we are in a ghurfa. But in the Arabic language, the word ghurfa means uliyya or iliyya. It means a high room. An example of this is the example of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he was upset with his wife. And he told our mother, Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala anha, that I'm going to stay away from you, all of you, for an entire month. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks nothing but the truth. The place that he went when he separated from his wives is called Uliyya, or a ghurfa. It was a room that was up above the rooms of his wives, the apartments of his wives, separate from them, up above them. And this is the real meaning of the word ghurfa or ghuraf. In actuality, we could call it today a penthouse, a room that is very high in the sky. I'd like to stop here and touch on once again the beauty of the Arabic language. The beauty of the Arabic language. That if we know, as we mentioned in a class last week, the deep meaning of the Arabic language will have a partial understanding of verses and hadith. For instance, kullu bina'in 'alin, every type of building that is high is called a ghurfa. Every type of building that is high is called a ghurfa. This in the fiqh of lugha is called al-kulliyat. It's called al-kulliyat. Every type of building that is murabba', any building that is in the shape of a square, in the Arabic language, linguistically, is called Kaaba. Any building, doesn't make any difference where it is, that is in the form of a square, is in the Arabic language, linguistically, called Kaaba. But we know that there's only one true Kaaba in the religious sense, and that's the house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. كلما يستحيا من كشفه فهو عورة. Anything that is shy or ashamed, and I want the sisters to listen to this very closely. Anything that is shy or ashamed or embarrassed to be exposed is called in the Arabic language عورة. Anything that is shy or ashamed of being exposed is called awra. So no wonder the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says al mar'atu awra, that the woman is an awra. Why? It's because if her shyness and modesty and shame has been kept intact, she will not want to be seen by men. She will not want to be seen by someone who is a stranger, because she herself is an awra. Allahu Akbar. كل ما علاك فأظلك فهو سماء. Anything that is up above you and shades you or gives you shelter from the sun or gives you protection like an awning is called in the Arabic language سماء. So in actuality, technically in the Arabic language, we can call the ceiling above us the heaven. In the Arabic language, we can call the ceiling heaven because it is over us, it's over our heads, and it makes a shade for us. In other words, it protects us from the sun. وَكُلُّ جَوْهَرٍ مِنْ جَوَاهِرِ الْأَرْضِ كالذهب والفضة والنحاس فهو الفلز. Any type of material from the materials of the earth like gold or silver or copper is called filiz. We give these examples to you, brothers and sisters, so you can get, inshallah, from the point of the Arabic language, now in the English language translated, the real meaning of what Allah is going to give us if we have taqwa. He's going to give us not a ghurfa, but ghurf. High buildings, high apartments, high, lofty rooms, way up in the heavens. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, a penthouse, a room, way up in the heavens? Listen to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَدَّثَنَا عَنِ الْجَنَّةِ مَا بِنَاؤُهَا. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrate to us about the Jannah and its building. Listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said. لَبِنَةٌ مِّن ذَهَبٍ وَلَبِنَةٌ مِّن فِضَّةٍ وَمَلَاتُهَا الْمِسْكُ الْأَذْفَرِ. Allahu Akbar. He said that the buildings have bricks that are made from gold. That the building that you are going to get, brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, for leaving off a shirk, for leaving off al-kufr, for fearing your Lord, for enjoining in the good and forbidding in the evil, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is going to give you buildings that the bricks are made from gold. He didn't stop there. وَلَبِنَةٌ مِّن فِضَّةٍ, and bricks made from silver. وَمَلَاتُهَا الْمِسْكُ الْأَذْفَرِ, and the mortar or the cement that keeps your gold brick, silver brick building together is made from the most pungent, most perspicuous, most wide-reaching, staunchest in smell musk. The mortar that keeps those gold and silver bricks in your building, that keeps it together, is made from the staunchest musk. But now, you know, I'm going to stop right now. I just want you, brothers and sisters, to just imagine that. Think about where you live right now. Especially you brothers and you sisters who are living in Park Slope or living in some other, you know, nicer areas. Some nicer brownstone where you're probably paying too much money to that Yahudi. Think about where you live. And then those of you who live in places where you may be tested and tried with roaches, with mice, with rats, with cat-like rats, with dog-like rats. Think about houses that have bricks made out of gold, bricks made out of silver, and the mortar that keeps the bricks together is made out of the strongest smelling musk. I'm just going to stop for a few seconds and let you try to imagine that. Now that you've imagined it, and you know you can never really imagine it, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said, "أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا عُذْنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ." I prepare for my righteous servants, the ones with taqwa, that which no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, or the mind of a human being could ever conceive. But now that you try to think about what it's like, think about what you're doing to get there. Think about what you're doing to get there. Are you doing really what you're supposed to be doing, brothers and sisters, to get to those houses, to get to those ghuraf, to get to those bina'? And then the Prophet went on. He says, وَحَصْبَاؤُهَا اللُّؤْلُؤْ وَالْيَاقُوتِ, And the pebbles of these houses are made out of pearls and rubies. Or I think sapphires. Al-Yakut, sapphires, I think. Rubies? I think Yakut is sapphires. Al-Lu'lu wal-Yakut. The pebbles in around the house, you know how you have gravel around your house, brothers? Those brothers who own houses, of course not on river. Of course not on river. Of course not on river. That gravel that you have around your home, can you imagine the pebbles, the gravel around your home made from pearls and sapphires? Can you imagine that? No, you can't imagine it. وَتُرَابُهَا الزَّعْفَرَانِ And the dirt of those houses are made out of saffron. The dirt of the houses are made out of saffron. مَنْ يَدْخُلُهَا يَنْعَمْ or يُنْعَمْ وَلَا يَأْيَسْ وَلَا يَأْيَسْ وَيَخْلُدُ وَلَا يَمُوتْ أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تبلى ثيابه ولا يفنى شبابه. The Prophet then said, whoever enters into it will have felicities of the highest amount. They won't have any despair. They will dwell for there forever, forever and ever and ever. They'll never die. Their clothes will never wear out. And their youth will never fade away. I ask you, O Allah, to give all of us who are listening to my voice and those who are not listening to my voice from your ummah all of these things. Ameen. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us all of these things and all of the things that we don't know about or haven't heard about. Ameen. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give us al-jannah, al-firdaus. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on in mentioning these high rooms, that these rooms will be constructed from yaqut, from sapphires, from zabarjad. Does anyone here know what zabarjad is? Akhi, a Sudani. You know what zabarjad is? Is it like lime? It's like lime, right? Like chrysolite. I think this is like lime. This is another narration that says, Zabarjad, that we're going to have our buildings made out of Yakut and Zabarjad. It's like lime, that green crystal lime. Because I think they call it chrysolite. Brothers and sisters, these extremely high, lofty chambers, they're just not going to be high and lofty and made out of these materials. Listen to what else the Prophet ﷺ said. They're going to be one on top of the other. You're not just going to have a room. You're going to have rooms like this, one on top of the other. Tibaqan. They're going to be strong and sturdy in their foundations. They're going to be twinkling and shining and sparkling. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in a narration collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ لَيَتَرَاءُونَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ أَهْلَ الْغُرَفِ كَمَا تَرَاءُونَ الْكَوْكَبَ الدُّرِّيِّ الْغَارِبِ فِي الْأُفُقِ الطَّالِعِ فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أُولَئِكَ النَّبِيُّونَ فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَلَى والذي نفسي بيده وأقوام آمنوا بالله وصدقوا الرسل وصدقوا الرسل. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, surely the inhabitants of Al-Jannah shall look at the people in the ghuraf. The people in Al-Jannah will look at the people in Al-Ghuraf, the one who have the high, lofty, sturdy room. Just the way you look at those beautiful, twinkling, sparkling stars that rise on the horizon. They said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Are these the prophets? He said, of course. And I swear by the one who has my nafs in his hands, it is also the people who believe in Allah and found the messengers to be truthful. So brothers and sisters, inshallah, this is us. We will be with those prophets, inshallah, in those high, lofty, sturdy rooms. And then Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, He says, غرف مبنية تجري من تحتها الأنهار وعد الله وعد الله لا يخلف الله الميعاد. Allah تبارك وتعالى says, they are strong, sturdy buildings, and beneath them are rivers that flow. And we all know that those rivers are of four types.